Next Sunday afternoon, on our parking lot, we're having one of my favorite events of the year. Now, you might think that's something religious, but it's actually not. It's our annual trunk or treat. That's where our young people go from car to car to car on the parking lot and trick or treat. And it's one of my favorite events of the year because they let me be one of the judges. They let me judge the trunks to see who gets the best and most creative one. But they also let me judge the little ones in their costume parade that they have. And I like it so much because I get to go from trunk to trunk to observe what's going on there so I can judge it. But it also allows me to go from trunk to trunk to observe the different candy that is available in all of those trunks. And I always tell people that I'm not above bribery when it comes to candy at trunk or treat. And you may be wondering why I'm bringing this up. I'm bringing it up because at this time of the year, at Halloween, at trunk or treat, what do we see? We see lots of costumes. We see lots of masks that people wear. And they put on these costumes and masks, and we become a totally different persona. We might become a firefighter or a policeman. We might become a doctor or a nurse. We might become our favorite Pokemon character for the day. We put on these costumes and masks and we take on someone other than our true selves. And it's fun to do that every Halloween. It's fun to get dressed up and enjoy the day. But I also think we as human beings tend to put on masks and costumes really all the time. We put on different masks and costumes according to what we want the world to see or observe about us. Perhaps you put on the costume of Supermom or Super Dad. Or perhaps you put on the mask of the person at work who can juggle every single project because you don't want the boss to think less of you. Perhaps you put on the ever-popular disguise of trying to please all people at all times. Ultimately, we wear all of these different masks and costumes because we're concerned about what other people will think of us if they see our true, real self. And I think this tendency to put on costumes and masks extends into our spiritual lives, into our relationship with God. You think about it, it extends in an exterior way to how we want people to perceive us as Catholics. Perhaps we wear the mask of super Catholic person. We want people to think that we're the most Catholic person out there. But we also put those masks on in our relationship to God. In our relationship to God, when we are not willing to open ourselves up to Him, or maybe when we keep some part of our lives away from Him, as if He doesn't know already everything that's going on. Perhaps we put on a costume when we're afraid to pray. When we're afraid to speak to God, to lay all of our concerns out on the line for Him. There's the ever popular mask in the spiritual life of not asking God for help because we think we have everything under control or we can handle every situation. These days, as we all know, it's very popular for people to say that they're spiritual but not religious. I think that is also a costume, a mask that people put on. Because if they didn't wear that mask, they would have to open themselves up. They would have to open themselves up to the fact that they are not the Pope of their own religion. It's actually closing them off from God because they can mold the spiritual life. They can mold their faith in any way that they choose. When we look at our gospel reading today, both of the main characters in the gospel, the Pharisee and the tax collector are both wearing masks. The Pharisee, he wears the mask of righteousness. When people looked at the Pharisees, they thought that they were righteous people. The Pharisees, as we know, tried to keep every iota of the law because they thought if they kept it perfectly, then God would love them and he would love their nation. Dot every I, cross every T, and then we would be in God's graces. But as we can tell from the gospel reading, from the prayer that the Pharisee recites, this is merely an exterior mask. Because inside, he's not righteous, he's self-righteous. Jesus says that the Pharisee spoke the prayer to himself. That tells us all we need to know about his relationship to God. That it was more about himself than it was about God. So he puts on the mask of righteousness, but he's really not. Now the tax collector in the ancient world wore a totally different mask, the exact opposite from the Pharisee. Tax collectors in the ancient world wore the mask of being a public sinner. And often their actions revealed that. They were Jews working for the Romans who were stealing from the Jews to keep the Romans happy and then to pad their own pockets. So they were seen to be public sinners. But yet we know from the prayer that this tax collector offers that his true self is really totally different. He says, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus says that that tax collector goes away justified, righteous in God's eyes, and not the Pharisee. That would have rocked the world of the people who are listening to Jesus speak these words. They would have thought that impossible. But what that tax collector did is he took off his mask and he stood before God, totally exposed to him, totally open to him, totally honest with him. And he knew that he was a sinner in need of God's grace. You see, my friends, God sees through all of the masks that we put on. He knows who we are better than we know ourselves. And we, on our part, have to stop hiding from him. We have to stop putting on those masks before him. We don't need to pretend like we have it all together in our spiritual lives. We don't need to pretend that we don't need God's grace and our sinners. We don't need to be afraid of being brutally honest in our prayers. And I would encourage you this week to think about what masks you need to take off in your relationship with God. Where do you need to be more honest and open to him? I think a perfect example of someone who has done this complete honesty before God, is St. Paul. St. Paul, we think about as this great saint, great evangelist, wonderful apostle. But yet he was a man who was very much aware of his own faults and failings. He knew that he started off as a sinner who was persecuting the church. He knew he had to repent of that. But yet when we read his letters, we're aware that he recognized that sinfulness throughout his entire life, that he was struggling. In the second reading today from his second letter to Timothy, Paul is an old man. He's writing from a Roman prison. He says, I've fought, I've run the race, I've competed well. He's looking back on all of that and realized that he stayed faithful, that he's learned to depend upon God. Elsewhere in his letters, Paul talks about the thorn in his flesh that was a constant struggle for him. We don't really know what that thorn was. Scripture scholars think it perhaps could be some sort of chronic illness or physical ailment that Paul had. So he knew what it was like to struggle as a human being through illness and pain and difficulty. Paul also had the courage to call out St. Peter. He went up to Jerusalem and told Peter he was totally out of line in how he was dealing with the Gentile converts. But yet he also said that he was unworthy to be an apostle. So we see in St. Paul the example of someone who throughout their lives was totally open to God, totally honest with him, and totally dependent upon him. St. Paul wore no masks before God or before his fellow human beings. What you saw is what you got. And that's an example for each of us to emulate. That when people look at us, that when God looks at us, you see what we got. So my friends, during this week, let's have the courage to stand before God, to ask him that we might have the courage to stand before him exactly as we are, because he already knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And yet he's also calling us, despite our sinfulness, to a higher place, to the place to live and be his sons and daughters.